Well, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 18 tonight. Lord willing, we'll wrap up this chapter with the exception of the very last verse. And we'll pick up the last verse and carry over into chapter 19, Lord willing, next week. Tonight we want to talk about moving from victory to victory. Last week we saw how that Elijah had a great victory on top of Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal. And we'll pick up here in 1 Kings 18 and verse number... let's pick up in verse number 36 where the victory took place. It says, "It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening service that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." I think that's very significant when we say He is the God. It means there is no other.
That's right, man.
He is the God.
Amen.
And that's where we left off last week in verse number 40. We're going to pick up tonight. "And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." He's talking to the people, okay? "And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the book Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again, seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." That's not very big, is it? "And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel." We'll leave off reading there. But we see, you know, this victory, there was victory in this showdown there on Mount Carmel, but it came not because of who Elijah was, but because of who the Lord God is. That's the reason for the victory. We see there in verse number, if you back up to verse number 24, when Elijah said, "You know, call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Well, note that the showdown was not between Elijah, really, and the prophets of Baal. The prophets of Baal may have thought that it was, but Elijah knew that it wasn't. Elijah was just a servant of the Lord. That's what he calls himself there in verse number 36, that we just read a while ago. He says, he was talking to God. "Thou art God in Israel," there, he said, and "that I am thy servant." So he was just a servant of the Lord, and he was being obedient to the word of the Lord, and the Lord showed himself mightily in response to Elijah's obedience to him. Remember that it's not us versus them and what's happening in this world. And, you know, it's not about us.
Right.
It's about the Lord. And our Lord will show himself mightily as we are obedient to him, that he might get the glory out of our lives. We need to keep that in mind. Now, the prophets of Baal may have relished in the fact that they outnumbered Elijah 451, but being in the majority doesn't mean diddly. Not when you got God on your side. When God's on the other side, I should say, being in the majority doesn't mean diddly to the ones that had the majority. They could have been any number of prophets they wanted to. They could have been three times that many and danced and pranced all they wanted to on the offering to Baal, and it would have made their it wouldn't have made anything turn out any differently. They could have been there, you know, they were there most of the day. They could have been there the whole week and jumped and done whatever they wanted to do. And they could have even tried to sneak a match in there and try to set it on fire, but it wasn't going to catch fire. God was going to make sure of that. God would blow the match out. But we see that it wouldn't have turned out any differently, and it would not have made their idolatry right. These prophets of Baal had their pride on the line, and that is why we saw the performance that they gave to their do-nothing idol. I mean, the idol was nothing. And they made all that noise and did all that dancing and did all that prancing. Listen, any and all activity in the wrong area and for the wrong cause is nothing more than just wasted effort in the end. And so their pride also meant that they didn't want to be shown up by this Elijah person in front of their king. I mean, you know, they had some pride. This world is full of pride. And with all the water that Elijah had poured on the sacrifice and altar, they may have figured, in the very least, that they were looking at a draw. You know, with all that water on there, there ain't no way in the world, if he'd have had a blowtorch, that he could have got it set on fire. But that doesn't mean that God couldn't put it on fire. After Baal didn't respond, I'm sure that they were, that is what they're hoping for. They was thinking about, there is no way this is going to burn. There's no way this is going to burn. And a draw would have meant that their Baal was at least as good as the Lord God. And these prophets didn't know it at the time, but their very lives were on the line here. I mean, Elijah didn't say anything about the team that wins gets to kill the other team. He didn't say that up front. I don't know whether it would have made any difference, because I'm sure they were confident in their flesh that their God was going to come through for them. Even though their God was nothing. And so, the really sad part about those who continue down the same old paths of sin and idolatry is that, their souls are at stake. These prophets' very lives were at stake and their souls were at stake. And that's the same way with people today that rail against God and don't want to have anything to do with God and want to rail against us for our stand for the Lord and for the Word of God. And I want you to note that this showdown was between the Lord God and Baal. That's who it was between. So of course, we know that Baal was just a dead idol, so it was really no contest. Right. No contest, because Baal was nothing. And any god and every god that anyone may worship and serve other than the one true God, it's just worshiping and serving something that's dead and in whom there is no hope. And there's a lot of folks in this world that's what they have for their God, is someone in whom there is no hope. The only one that there's hope in is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Baal was not going to show himself because he was nothing. In fact, this was literally a no contest contest. No contest contest. So we have a powerless do-nothing idol versus the Lord God Almighty. And in the end, these prophets of Baal went out into eternity without the Lord in their lives, without God, and without hope. How sad. But this showdown was for the purpose of the Lord turning His people back to Him. And we read that in verse number 24. And they say, whoever shows himself by fire, let him be God. And the people said, okay, we'll agree to that. We'll agree to that. And when the Lord sent the fire and dried the trenches up, even it not only consumed the sacrifice, but just dried all the water up there, then they said, the Lord, He is the God, there in verse number 39. And what a wonderful thing. But victory in this showdown came not because of who Elijah was, but because of who the Lord God is. The second thing I want you to see is that when God showed himself mightily in answering by fire, there was another victory needed. And there was yet another victory needed. See, the problem here is there's still no rain. Okay? Still no rain. I mean, yeah, God showed himself mightily there and consumed the sacrifice, but there's still the problem of a 3.5-year drought in the land, and the drought was caused by sin, and especially the sin of idolatry in the land. And the people may have thought that their greatest need was rain, but in reality, their greatest need was for them to get back to God.
Amen.
You know, as we look toward the election this year, you know, a lot of folks say, you know, our greatest need is for Trump to get back in there, or our greatest need, maybe some people think something different. No, our greatest need is for our country to turn back to God. That's what our greatest need is. Sometimes we may think our greatest need is for a change in our circumstances, but we need to stop and ask, why has the Lord allowed these circumstances? You know, sometimes it may be because of sin, as we see here. Sometimes it may be to grow us in our faith. There are many, many examples in Scripture of that. And other times it may be that the Lord might get the glory out of our trust and dependence upon Him in spite of our circumstances. And of course, the greatest example of that is Job. You know, God wanted to get the glory out of Job's life. Mankind's greatest need, and even our greatest need as believers, is the Lord God Himself in His rightful place in our lives. So now that the Lord has answered by fire here, the people have had their hearts turned back to Him. Elijah doesn't stop there. He didn't quit at that point. The past had to be dealt with first. Verse number 40, there Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Listen, notice how Elijah got the people to deal with these prophets of Baal. If these prophets had not been dealt with, there's a good possibility that they would have continued to undermine the Lord God in the lives of the people, yeah, and have drawn them back into idolatry again. And when we experience revival, of necessity, there are some things that have been a part of our lives that must be dealt with. And you know, that's the unsavory part of that. A lot of times we don't want to deal with those things, but those things have to be dealt with. We need to put to death those things that caused us to turn from the Lord God to begin with, lest we turn away from Him again. Of course, you know, these prophets of Baal had a good big part in that. So the past had to be dealt with. I want you to see, second of all, the present had to be dealt with. Look at verse number 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now listen, there's no clouds. Elijah, by faith, is hearing sound of abundance of rain. He know God. He knows God's going to send the rain. What was wrong with the present here? Well, what's wrong here is that the drought, the dryness. And when you've been away from God for so long, it brings a dryness that needs to be dealt with by the Spirit of God in our lives. And though revival had begun with the Lord showing Himself mightily in the midst of His people, there was a need for some showers of blessing to end the dryness. That's what they needed. And when we have seen the error of our ways and we have begun to have revival, listen, there's a need for the Spirit of God to soften our dry spirit with His refreshing. And as we look toward our revival, upcoming revival, I hope that you'll do that. You'll look for that refreshing, for those the Spirit to refresh you in your heart and soul. We see that Elijah also dealt with the dryness based on God's Word by prayer. Turn back to verse number 1. 1 Kings 18:1. It says, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, notice, and I will send rain upon the earth. What did he have? He had the promise of God. Elijah had the promise of God there. that God's going to send rain. And down in verse number 42, we see, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Now, I'm not going to do that tonight. I have trouble getting up. But you can imagine in your heart and in your mind him doing that. He was humbling himself before the Lord God. And we're not told what Elijah prayed when he talked with the Lord here. Possibly something like this. I don't know. Lord God, you said you would send rain upon the earth. Your people have turned back to you, O Lord. We're looking for the rain you promised. Now please send the rain that you promised according to your word. It could have been something like that. We don't know. We don't know what he prayed, but whatever he prayed, it was effectual and it was fervent. How do we know that? Well, James said so. In James chapter number 5, verse number 16 through 18, he said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, talking about Elijah, was a man who was subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So he prays, I want you to notice that, fourthly, Elijah was persistent in his prayer. He didn't just pray one time. You know, pray, go check and see if you see anything out of the sky. Send a servant. Some commentators that I saw, they think that the servant was possibly the widow Zarephath's son, was the one that he sent to do that. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But we see that he was persistent in his praying. Elijah had Ahab to prepare for rain even before there was ever a storm cloud to be seen. I mean, he just told him, you know, you need to get up and go eat and drink because rain's coming. You know, there's a sound of abundance of rain. And then down to verse number 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Saying, you know, you better get on your horse and get out of here. That's basically what he's saying here. Get on your chariot and ride it out of town because the rain was coming. So Elijah had Ahab to prepare for rain even before there was ever a storm cloud to be seen. Not only that, Elijah began his preparation and prayer based on only a sound. Verse number 41. There's a sound of abundance of rain. I don't think it was that sound that he was hearing with his ears. I think it was a sound he was hearing in his heart. Now, the Lord gave me this promise. There's rain's coming. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I could hear the rain. No clouds in the sky, but he could hear the rain. And I believe that this was a sound that was based on faith that God said he would send a rain. And I say that because there was no cloud present at the time, nor even one on the horizon. I mean, there's nothing. 7 times it took of praying before it saw the cloud the size of a man's hand. Now, yet the rain coming, listen, the rain coming was just as real to Elijah as if it was already coming down. And he said, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. He knew that when the Lord was going to come through, the Lord was going to come through mightily, just like he came through with fire. Well, it was a mighty fire that came down and consumed all that. Well, it's going to be a mighty rain that's going to come. He goes, a mighty fire, there's going to come a mighty rain. And he heard the abundance of rain. So Elijah combined a persistent prayer with faith and expectation. Look at verse 43. And 44 there, he said to the servant, go up now, look toward the sea. I imagine the servant kind of got tired there. You know, he went up and looked, said, there's nothing. He said, go again. 7 times he did this. There's nothing. There's nothing. Said the seventh time there, verse 44. And it passed the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. that was enough for Elijah. Elijah was persistent here. God responded to Elijah's persistent prayers of faith by sending his abundant showers of blessing there in verse 45. It says, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds. You know, all the way from just the size of a man's hand to being black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. See, that's what he heard. He heard the sound of abundance of rain. There's a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Well, we'll see. Next, Elijah actually gets in front of his chariot and beats him there on foot. Next time that we come together and take a look at this passage. But do we believe what God speaks to us in His Word in such a way that we are persistent in our praying, or do we fall short in our praying? You know, we've got all kinds of promises God's given us. Do you trust in promises of God? You have the assurance in your heart, hey, God's going to come through. Might not have come through yet, but He's going to come through. And we pray without ceasing, like 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Or are we full of, you know, doubt? Are we full of faith, or are we full of doubt? And may God help us to pray persistent prayers according to His Word, looking to Him to do what He says that He will do. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I trust that'll be a blessing to you. It's a blessing to me as I study that. I assure you. So as we look at this passage, you know, we've been here for a couple of weeks now, and looking at the Bible meeting coming up, and like I said, you know, the evangelist cannot bring revival in his back pocket. Revival is going to, whether we have revival or not, it's going to be dependent upon what we do with the messages that are brought forth. All right, let's pray for the needs on our prayer list. We'll go ahead and pull those out. We'll pray for the needs here, and we'll be dismissed.